If you've tried to get into Western Australia recently, you'll know that the state has been accused of becoming a hermit kingdom. But the hard border that's kept WA virtually COVID-free for 2 years is proving less effective against the Omicron variant. 24 new cases were recorded on Sunday, and with 90 cases statewide, the Health Minister Amber Jade Sanderson admitted Western Australia can't keep the virus out forever.
I think it's clear that we're not going to eliminate Omicron. It's now about how we suppress and manage Omicron.
Dr. Norman Swan is the host of the Health Report on RN and the co-host of the CoronaCast podcast and a friend of the program and mine. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Hi, PK. Happy New Year and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Western Australia has admitted they can't eliminate Omicron. Do you think they'll soon be seeing cases in their hundreds or thousands just like the rest of the country?
Well, this is how it starts. It starts with one or two cases and then spreads with a doubling time of 2 or 3 days, perhaps even less than that. And if they're not tracking down every case, then yes, it will spread. There's nothing funny about this, but in a kind of a way, this could be the state government's get out of jail because they've locked themselves into a bit of a policy spiral locking out of the state.
There's still no timeline for the WA border to reopen. If this outbreak does spread, and as you say, it's kind of inevitable with Omicron, and the government isn't able to bring it under control, does that undermine the case for maintaining that very hard border?
Well, they've got themselves into a bind because there's no right time to open up. They've got reasonable vaccination rates now, but they have been slow to vaccinate, which in some ways plays in their favour because it means that the people who have been vaccinated have still got pretty good immunity, unlike the eastern states where it had really declined by the time that Omicron came along. Yes, their booster regime program is pretty slow, but it's also slow because people have been so late to get vaccinated in the first place. So finding the right time to open up is for them going to be really, really difficult, and which is why I said that if this outbreak spreads, it becomes less of a reason and gives them, they've got fewer reasons to stay closed because finding the right time to open up, I just don't know how they're going to do it.
In New South Wales and Victoria, cases appear to be dropping, which is, of course, very welcome news. Professor Adrian Esterman from the University of South Australia has calculated that the reproduction rate for the virus is 0.83 in New South Wales and 0.8 in Victoria. So Norman, does that suggest those states are past the peak?
Well, it's very hard to, I mean, Adrian's very good, but it's very hard to estimate the ARF because you don't know how many cases there truly are. But we, based on what happened in Denmark, UK and South Africa, we should be reaching our peak round about now in the eastern states. So it's credible that it is peaking because so many people have been infected. There's far fewer to be infected, and a lot of people have already, have now had their booster.
Both states announced their back-to-school plans, and rapid antigen tests will be provided to teachers and schools, with everyone asked to take one twice a week, so it's a kind of prevention strategy. Do you think the measures are sufficient? Do you think they'll work? Because it's a lot of onus on the individual, isn't it, to do it and hope that they just do it and are being honest about it.
Look, some of this is political. The rapid antigen tests aren't as... There's a lot of variation probably I'm hearing too many anecdotes about variation in quality between the rapid antigen tests where they're negative for a long time, yet if somebody happens to have a PCR, they're positive. So it's not an entirely reliable way of doing this. And the real focus needs to be on ventilation and masks in schools during this time. Rapid antigen tests will help a bit. And then the other thing that they've got to do is really speed up the immunisation, the full immunisation of what got to do, they should be thinking about doing, is completing the immunisation schedule for kids, which they can do. ATAGI allows you to shorten the interval down to 3 weeks. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks gives you coverage of kids with two immunisations because one doesn't give you enough cover.
Yeah, that's right, that 8-week wait. I'm currently in that 8-week wait with my 10-year-old.
Yeah, it's good for immunity, but perhaps not good for population health, and shortening it a bit would get more protection against kids faster.
But Are there enough doses? Are they ready? If they were to shorten that period, I mean, the problems with the original startup, I had my appointment cancelled, and I know many listeners had the same thing or delayed. Are they ready to go if it was shortened?
Well, I think the state clinics are helping the Commonwealth a lot because I just think that they were caught short. But the important thing is not to shorten without consulting with general practice first and just make sure they've got all their ducks lined up. But I'm told repeatedly when I inquire on background, have we got enough doses? The answer is yes.
6 million Australians who hold concession cards are now eligible for those free rapid antigen tests. But this morning, pharmacies are warning that they don't have any to give out, right? So how urgently do we need to get more tests into the country? Does that surprise you that they just don't have the stock to actually give them to people who turn up?
Well, we had our chance earlier in the year. We're almost reprising the vaccine procurement story where when we got onto it, the rest of the world was onto it. And we had our chance in August of this year when it became clear during the lockdowns, particularly in New South Wales and Victoria, that rapid antigen testing would help us a lot then. We didn't do it. And now we're competing on a global market. If you just read the international newspapers, all countries experience Omicron and are experiencing a rapid antigen test shortage. That will come good, but a lot of manufacturers are a bit leery of it because they're going to produce at high volumes, then this peak will pass and they'll be left with stock. So they're in a bit of a bind.
Just quickly, N95's masks, do you think they will end up becoming mandated?
I'm not sure they end up being mandated, but I think certainly a cloth mask should be out. They're just not good enough for the current variants. Surgical masks are okay, but N95s are better. You've got to be really careful because there are forgeries around, so you've got to buy a reputable brand. Make sure they fit well. If they feel flimsy or the badge on it, the printed badge on it, looks odd, don't buy it. Or if it's too cheap to be true, it probably is too good to be true. Just be careful what you buy and it fits well.
Norman Swan, I look forward to our many conversations in the future. Thank you.
Me too.
Dr. Norman Swan is the host of The Health Report on RN and the co-host of the CoronaCast podcast.